I'm glad to see everybody. It's a beautiful day, the first day of May. And I read on my calendar as I turned the calendar this morning, a treasure is a true friend. So it was very apt today. And the children have been dancing around a maypole out there. And we did that too in different schools I went to when I was a child. And when we lived on Cape Cod when I was a little girl, I guess 12, 13, we were in a little town. The New England people celebrate May 1st. Maybe they do in other states too, but they really do in New England, with lots of flowers. And they choose some young girl to be the recipient of a beautiful bouquet. She's the May girl of the year. And the year we were there, I was very lucky. I received flowers in this little town. I was thrilled. I didn't know anything about how they celebrated it. So, Eric Hoffer, he was a very well-known American philosopher and very well spoken. And he says this, the individual on his own remains a chronically incomplete and unbalanced entity. His creative efforts and passionate pursuits are at bottom a blind striving for wholeness and balance. The individual striving to realize himself and prove his worth has created all that is great in literature, art, music, science, and other great things. Do you believe the admonition that well-behaved people seldom make history? Mark Zuckerberg, who is famous for his creation of Facebook, it's still in his 20s, comes to mind. But Friends was a precursor to his profitable Facebook. And the whole idea is marvelous and has done so much for young people all over the world because they can communicate in a way they couldn't communicate before. So it's good. Mark had a few difficult times as he got into his Facebook work, but he has proven that he's doing a good job. So I don't advocate criminal activity by any means in anyone, but we're not all perfect. And he's still young. And he's doing a good job. For our children, as parents, we still want a home, just like we always have for generations past, with loving parents and children for them to play with, too. It's important for them to play with other children in a very safe neighborhood. Nowhere can one find a definition of excellence. We only glimpse it in specific situations. Each of us must determine what constitutes greatness, virtuosity, sublimity, to which goals and to what goals do we aspire to? Which roads do we choose to travel? And by what method do we choose to obtain whatever heights we elect? We find ourselves in a gigantic smorgasbord of human possibilities. Standards of good vary. What influences play on modes of excellence? We take as much as we understand, and we come back for more when we can't function in that direction any longer. It seems that influences today would steer us, draw us into a way of mediocrity rather than superiority. What seems lacking is a truer version of experience, not exemplified by mass media and popular culture that we've been witnessing, even though I approve of all the new things that are out there. For even children to have these iPods and whatever they are, which they are constantly looking at. The only thing I object to are the people in automobiles doing it while they drive. I'm afraid of them. Perhaps we could begin with a confrontation with the truth, no matter how painful it may be. Instead of distortion and oversimplification of life, since our lives are occupied in both perpetuating life and surpassing it. In surpassing what we might call excellence. Many of you, I'm sure, can match my perplexities. I still have them at my age. Doubt for doubt in this search of what things art or art or aren't. The essence of man, his community, and the nations that follow. As friends, isn't it true that the problems of our world are really the problems of individuals? Now, if we can singly change, and they can change, then perhaps we may entertain hope for our communities and our world. After all, lives of despair and hopeless situations propagate nothing. In order to achieve greatness, one must be unshackled, be committed, leaving all doors open for change and refueling. It's kind of a rekindling process. I must be fairly non-defensive and open to many experiences. I have physiological demands, just like you do. Healthy eating habits, plenty of rest, enough exercise, and above all, human relationships. The friendly types and others. So let's be friends. I do not deny that I can be tender and that I might exhibit hostility. Did you ever hear the story of the little boy that went out on the porch and shouted into the woods, "I hate you"? And a voice returned, "I hate you." Incensed, he challenged, "Come out and I will sock you." And the voice returned, "Come out and I'll sock you." Well, the boy was very puzzled, so he went inside to his mother, the last word for him, and said, "Mother, there's a little boy in the woods who says he hates me." Well, the mother was wise, knowing all about what was going on, and she said, "Go out and tell him you love him." So he went out and he said, "I love you." And the voice said back, "I love you." That's what life is. That is life. I fear with trepidation denial of this side of some about themselves. Can they say, "I love you," even though they feel this feeling of hate? Which we all have at times. When man is fully man, complete aware of his experiences, which is one of our unique attributes as humans, then man and his subsequent behavior can be trusted. So let's get on with our friendship. Let me explain why it would be such a good idea After all, we are traveling closely. We are here, and we are humans, and uniquely in ourselves diversified. But we share a common search for meaning, identity, and personal worth. All men struggle with this. We tend to vacillate sometimes after we commit ourselves. Inner ones, we believe, we doubt, we retreat, we become prisoners of ourselves at times, all the while condemning the social forces around us for our own indiscretions or failures. Condemning the social forces around us for our own indiscretions and failures. Conditioning begins at birth and dependence, taught well. And then, as it leads on and we grow quickly, abruptly into an independent self, which you have put together, discarding some things and some experiences, retaining taught ones too, and somehow we become and are a glimmer of that special someone. Life should be a continuous and growing awareness, and if you will, a desire to surpass itself. But friends, we shall be. That's what I remember saying to one of our sons when he, who was in his 20s and who kept coming home, even after we would put his belongings out on the front step. He would still climb up the tree next to his bedroom window at night when we were asleep. And I said to him one morning, it's not possible for us to have a friendship if you keep coming back home. Because we have our own rules, and they're not yours. I like to substitute the word for happiness into joy. For some reason, I like joy. I like happiness too, but I like joy better. And finally, he did find his way and never came home again. Well, yes, he came home, but he never stayed. It's the effect which comes after we have used the joy as all that we have within us. It's that which gives us a sense of worth and dignity. It means I can take myself anywhere in fulfillment and defeat. I'm not speaking of heroic acts or recognized achievements, but just honest expressions of one's own power. Don't misunderstand me. One doesn't need to be so introspective that it leads to pride. I think the value of being aware of self leads not to conceit, which is really indicative of self-doubt. Many men, many learned men, too, have spent long hours. It's okay to spend long hours by yourself if you need to. And some of those men were in search, a lot of them were, or women, for meaning. Search for meaning. I cannot get a feeling of worth and power by identifying with anyone else. This is called transference, and it doesn't have much of a future. Life waits 1 second. Please, while I catch my breath at my age, I want to see all of you a little closer and a little longer. One day, an apple tree stands there in humble demureness, scarcely noticed in its nakedness. Then, one morning, it explodes with a dazzling burst upon the breast of the world. That's what our dogwood trees did this year. They were absolutely, and still are, magnificent. But we're talking about an apple tree, which is the same thing, beautiful when they're in bloom. It has lost its modesty for then. And just as suddenly, the flash is over, and white petals scatter all over the earth, the fresh green earth, like a lover's note, torn to shreds, so no one can read its sweet secret. So let's be friends, so we too, like the apple tree, might really blossom if we could learn to bring into harmony all the conflicting desires and dreams. Passions, ambitions, drives, and deal with them in a real way. This church, our church, is uniquely effective as it extols the blossoming increase of the love of neighbor, and along with it, their necessities, freedom, economic and political justice, and to witness, we do not live by bread alone, but to witness that we do not. A quote from Aldous Huxley, "To know the ultimate self, which goes beyond one's ego, almost like breathing, is the real purpose of human existence." And from one of my favorite poets, William Blake, his wisdom is not to be forgotten. "Man was made for joy and woe, and when this we rightly know, through the world we safely go. Joy and woe are woven fine, a clothing for the soul divine." I want to close with a poem, and I did forget the hymn, Joy, and I'm so sorry. You'll forgive me. This is a poem that my father wrote me many years ago. He wrote lots of poetry, but this one was just for me. I'm going to share it with you because it has a lot to do with May 1st, this time of the year. A poem my father wrote, "When the tired sun greets the western hills, the perfumed mists of 10,000 flowers rise to mute the senses. Doors open to incredible dreams." Let's sing the